I have to do this. Well, I don't have to. I'm going to do this. Let me see your finger. Do this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Hide it under... I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. The book of Genesis begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. The Gospel of John, when he, near his very beginning of his gospel, speaks of Jesus as that creation, the very word of God. And in it he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Later on, when John would write in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he would say, God is light, in him there is there no darkness at all. Light. When you think about God, there's so many ways. When you think about Jesus, there are so many words that you could use. But one of the words from beginning really to through the book of Revelation, which was just read to us, is light. Light that shines in darkness. I enjoy tours that take you into caves. And I distinctly remember one time, I think it's Mammoth Caves, but I could be wrong, because we've done several, Carrie and I have done several. Anyway, we went into this cave, we're on this tour, and I'm not real wild about confined spaces, I'll throw that one out there, but I feel safe in these tours. But when we first got in, we got into this old, like, mine shaft elevator, and that was a little on the scary side, and they take you way underground, and then you begin to walk in these caves. And so we're down there, and we're walking through the caves, and it really is beautiful to see the stalactites and the stalagmites and all that type of stuff, and even the water dripping down. In fact, we got to a place where there was, I say a waterfall, it really, water was coming out, and there was this big pool that had, where the rock had been washed away because of the water, and it was just collecting in that pool. And they had this kind of light display that was going on and literally refracted off the walls. It was beautiful. And then the tour guide said, I want you to hold the hand of somebody you trust. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Everybody's holding someone's hand but him, so nobody trusts him, I guess. But nonetheless, everybody was holding hands, and I was holding Carrie's hand. And he turned off all the lights underground. Now, I don't know how far underground we are. I forget how far we were, but it was a good ways underground. And the bottom line is, there is zero light that far underground. In fact, he said, if you feel comfortable, wave your hand in front of your face. Well, I do as I'm told most of the time. So I waved my hand in front of my face. I couldn't see my hand at all. I would not have known my hand was waving if it wasn't for the feeling of my arm. And then he did, I thought something really remarkable. He used a dimly lit flashlight and turned it on. Not a really bright light, but a pretty dim light. And immediately, everybody's eyes went to that light. And that light, as dim as it was breaking through the darkness, and you could begin to see little bits of the wall. I'm sure he told some story down there. I'm thinking this is a great sermon illustration. So I'm using it today. But what I noticed is not that it broke through the darkness. I noticed, besides a fly in my glasses, I noticed everybody's eyes were drawn to the light. Nobody wanted to turn and just look to the darkness. Everybody wanted to turn and look to the light. And I thought, that is profound. And then he flips on a switch, and I'm telling you, my eyes hurt. The brightness came back to where it was when we had been walking just moments earlier, but it took a few seconds for my eyes to adjust to that much light, because in that darkness and then in that dimly lit light, that's all that my eyes were doing, and then boom, all of this light comes on. As we continue the Sermon on the Mount, we hear Jesus say right after the Beatitudes, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be restored? It no longer is good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." I said last week that I understand the Beatitudes to be a blessing from God given to people who were going through difficulties in their life. And as their connection to God remained, he wanted them to understand that no matter where they were, no matter what was going on, there was a blessing that was given to them. How the poor in spirit inherit the earth doesn't make sense. But the bottom line is he blesses them, and as soon as he gets done blessing them, he tells them who they are. And I wanted to highlight that in those two words, because as I prepare for the lesson and as I just let God speak to me through the passage, it really hit me that God isn't saying, this is what I want you to become. He is affirming who they are now. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That is who you are. Can we all do better at that? Absolutely. But that's not where Jesus starts. He starts by affirming who they are. If I were to ask you to describe yourself, who are you? Some of you, and if it was done without any giving you where I want you to go, some of you would probably begin by describing either how you are as an employee, you know, where you work, those type of things, or maybe your marital status or your family status, whatever that might be. And you would begin to describe characteristics about who you are. When God describes you, or Jesus in this case, he begins by saying, over all the earth, you're what brings savor to the earth. In a world of darkness, you bring light out of the darkness. For many years, And it's still something I have to watch myself. But for many years, I've had a very bad self-image. Now, sounds strange coming from a preacher, and especially someone who has to put themselves in front of people all the time. But there were so many things when I would look at me I didn't like about me, that when I would define myself to myself, I defined myself by all of those negative thoughts. And that's where my mind would go. Oh, I would try to say the right things in public, but in my heart, how I saw me was a failure. Not as good as, not as talented as, not as able to do the things that others could do. I always felt like I was kind of one step behind the rest of the crowd, that I couldn't really fit in. And then it was made very clear to me by someone who loved me dearly that that attitude was actually a sinful attitude. And I thought, wait a second. I feel bad about myself and you're calling me a sinner? And their statement to me was, who are you to discount what God has created and made you to be and taken upon yourself a view that only Satan wants you to view? Why would you choose Satan's view of you over God's view of you? And I didn't have a good answer to that question. And I remember I cried. And I'm thinking, but God. And I would, you know, state my sinfulness. And this person who loved me would continue to quote scriptures of grace and mercy and forgiveness anytime I would try to say something. Until finally I would break down and say, who I am is a child of God, loved by Him, and created to do what He wants me to be doing. And I've got to get beyond me in order to see me through His eyes. Low self-esteem ruins many people. But Jesus says who you are. Peter often messed up in his life. And maybe that's why I like Peter, because he puts his foot in his mouth. He does all sorts of stuff during the ministry of Jesus that you think, man, you would be better off if you just kept your mouth closed. But Peter was an all-in person. There was times that he would, in his own view of self, think he was greater than everybody else. Even if all deny you, I won't do that. There are other times he was so humbled by the presence of Jesus that he would say, go away from me, for I am a sinner. But near the end of Peter's life, he would say to the saints, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who are you? You are chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are people who have known darkness, walked into light, and because you are in that light, you are people who proclaim God's greatness because you've experienced, tasted, and benefited through the Spirit's calling into your life. And Peter says, that's who you are. Not will be, not should be. That's who you are. And before you start saying, but I have these sins, I hear you. There's one truth that I have to overcome. I have to hear all the time. That if I walk in the light, as he is in the light, his blood, do you know what the next word is? Continuously cleanses me from all my sin. Not just when God feels like it. Not just when I have really been contrite, down on my knees, praying and saying, God, forgive me. But continuously cleanses me from my sin. Who am I? I am the light of the world. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that because I've been called out of darkness and into his light. And therefore, because I have experienced that change, I have a story that I have to tell others. That I can't keep to myself because it's too glorious to keep to myself. Because there is a world out there that hurts. There is a world out there that is so sad because they view themselves through the eyes of Satan instead of through the eyes of God. And when a person allows themselves to be defined by their sin instead of their faith, I can almost guarantee you they will continue to fall in sin instead of walk in faith. Because you have, if you will, predestined the outcome. You've already determined who you are. And you're just following through. So when Jesus proclaims who you are, he expects you to follow through. When Jesus told the people on the mountainside who they were and he commissioned them, he told them, I'm going to go back to verse 14 and I'm going to continue on. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I listened to a song because I love the words of it. And the chorus said, carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the lonely, the tired, and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle. Go light your world. And the challenge of that song is to let my light shine. The calling is not to put it under a basket, a bushel basket, okay? So you have been saved. You are here to worship God. Wonderful, great things. And we have experienced the joy of God amongst us this morning. But when you walk out those doors, when you go home, when you go to work tomorrow, when you are hanging out with friends tomorrow, when you are at the grocery store, when you are out in the world, my question is this: are you still the light? Or do you just let your light shine when you're inside this church building? Because if you are the light, then you are called to do good works so that those who see them, they don't glorify you, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are commissioned to go light your world. You are commissioned to take that light and shine it all around the neighborhood. And it's more than a kid's song. By the way, it's scripture. It's God's message of what we are called to do. Philip Paul Bliss, P.P. Bliss, was directing the singing for a series of services being conducted by the very well-known preacher Dwight L. Moody. You may have heard of his name with the Moody Institute. Anyway, as he closed his message, Mr. Moody told the story of a captain who was attempting to bring his boat to the Cleveland Harbor on a very dark and stormy night. He said the waves rolled like mountains. Not a star was in the seen in the clouded sky. He pictured the boat rocking in the violent waves as the captain peered through the darkness for the sight of the signal light by which means they could guide their vessel to safety. When he finally spotted a single light from the lighthouse, he turned to the pilot and asked, "Are you sure this is the Cleveland Harbor?" "Quite sure, sir," the pilot replied. "Then where are the lower lights?" the captain continued. "Gone out, sir," the other man replied. "Can you make the harbor?" the captain asked anxiously. "We must or perish, sir," the pilot replied. But despite his strong heart and brave hand, in the darkness he missed the channel. With a resounding crash, the boat piled up on the rocks and then settled slowly to a watery grave. As the congregation listened intently, Moody concluded with this admonition to the Christians. "Brethren, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us be the lower lights burning." That was all P.P. Bliss needed to pen one of his most famous songs. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, and the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. The world needs hope. People need to know the love of Jesus. People need to understand who they are. I read that someone said, "What you are speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say." Gave me pause to think. So what are you? Are you a light? Because that will speak volumes. Go light your world. This church seeks to be a light in the darkness of sin. This church seeks to be a safe harbor for people who have struggled to find their way back home to God through Jesus Christ. This church wants to be a place to help you trim your light, your lamp so that your light can shine brightly. If we can help you to do that, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?